Today's Bible reading is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, 8 to 16, and 32 to 40. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made a promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice and gained what was promised to shut the mouths of lions, quench the fury of the flames and escape the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect.
Good morning, everyone. How lovely to see you. Hello, Beth. Oh, that's beautiful. Let me just hang up Charlie. And if there's a Charlie in the room, please don't be offended. My walking stick is named after a very special gentleman who passed away many years ago. An atheist was having a quiet time fishing at Loch Ness. Suddenly, the Loch Ness monster reared up, picked up the boat, tossed it in the air. The man was looking down at the teeth and the mouth of the Loch Ness monster. He cried out, "God, help me!" To which a voice replied, "You don't believe in me." "Oh, come on, God. 2 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness monster." Now that you're used to my voice, let's pray. Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to have you with us, for you to be beside each one of us, in our midst. So as we work through testimony and the word, Lord, let our heart be open to hear your still small voice. Let our eyes be clear of scales, that we might see you. And Lord, may each one of us leave here different to what we were when we came in. For your word tells us, moment by moment, you are transforming us into your glorious likeness. And Jesus, we simply pause to say we love you. Help us to love you more. Amen. Now, Peter actually asked me to give you a thumbnail sketch of my testimony. And I have a very big story. So my thumbnail will be quite small. I was the eldest daughter of four children to a narcissistic father, whom I loved dearly, and a mother who didn't know how to love. We grew up constantly moving around, and my father took great delight in beating the daylights out of each of us. I was enticed into a car when I was 9 years of age and spent 6 hours at the hands of a pedophile. I won't go into any details. I'm sure you understand. Life was not easy. I joined the forces when I was 17 to get some freedom. I'd lived in a home where my father ran it like a military camp anyway. I had a car accident at 18 and had a teardrop break in my neck. I was discharged when I got married to a man who was very abusive and just like my father. When he tried to drown our 11-month-old son, it was time to leave. I met David some years later, and we were married. It's been a very interesting journey. I was paralysed at 27 after our third child was born. I was in an argument with a 32-ton truck in 1986 and spent most of that year in and out of hospital. In 1989, I felt the Lord tell me to get a passport. Come on. We didn't have two bob to rub together. Why was I going to get a passport? And with the my husband saying, yes, do whatever God asks you to do, going to the elders and the pastor at the time and them saying exactly the same, I stood back and watched as the Lord provided for a prayer trip of 9 weeks around Eastern Europe and also across Turkey. The hardest decision I have ever had to make was putting my husband David into a nursing home because of severe dementia. The wonderful man that I had married had disappeared into a violent and angry man that he had never, ever been previously. David's still alive. So it's very difficult, after 9 years, going backwards and forwards to visit him. But one thing the Lord had promised was that whilst his mind was dead, God was still at work in his spirit. And for that, I am very, very thankful. I became a Christian in a very, very profound way, and I'm sorry I've rambled on to a degree. We were living on a farm in Northcliffe, and I was feeding calves just pure milk so that their flesh was white for the restaurant trade. I walked down to the shed carrying two very, very heavy buckets of milk, only to find my favourite calf had died. I won't use the expletive I used, but I will tell you what I did as I shook my hand at the heavens and said, "Who the do you think you are?" At that moment, God showed me exactly who he was. It was not the people or the Pharisees that had whipped his body. It was me. It was me who pushed the crown of thorns down on his head so that every thorn pierced his skin. I was the one who whipped him with my anger and my lies, my resentment and my bitterness. And I was the one who drove the nails into his hands. And as I stood before that risen cross, I heard his voice say, "Father, forgive her, for she knows not what she does." So you may think, well, wow, that's a bit odd. But the reality is each of us have a story. And each story is important, regardless of what it contains. Each one of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ came to him by the power of his Holy Spirit. So let's begin. We're going to be looking into Hebrews 11. Now, I'm not an exegetical teacher. I like the word. So, if you have a problem with something I've said, come and talk to me. I won't eat you. I've given up eating people. I find they stick in my throat. Faith comes from assurance. We don't just believe blindly. We have evidence of how God has moved in the past. Pause a moment. Think of your past. How has God used and spoken to you in the past? That same God who spoke to you in the past will also speak to you in the future. He will guide, guard, and govern each one of us as we continue to yield to him. Faith is a confidence in God that leads to obedience to God. True faith is based on what God says and instead demonstrated in what we do. Faith is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It is as for common people as well as it is for great leaders. We need faith in worship. We need faith in working. We need faith in walking. We need faith in waiting. And at the moment, we all need faith as we watch the world crumble in war. In Romans 14, sorry, it's not, I changed it, Luke 12, verse 40. "You too, be continually ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." In the story of the 10 virgins, we read where 5 were ready and 5 weren't. Then when they went off to buy oil and came back, found that the door was locked and they could not get in. So let me ask you a question, and Beth will tell you I'm good at asking questions. Are you ready for the coming of the King? Are you focused upon the Lord and continuing to build a relationship with him? I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm not talking about how much you know of the word. I'm talking about relationship. How much you know in your knower that you know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Romans 10:17, we read, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Hebrews 11:6, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Dwight L. Moody writes, "Faith makes all things possible, but love makes all things easy." In many cases, faith is a choice. You either believe God is who he says he is, or you call him a liar. And I, for one, for the last 49 years, have never been game to call him a liar. Faith holds us. Faith is the assurance of all things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It's easy to follow what we see and what we understand, isn't it? But it's a whole different thing when a still small voice speaks inside of you and it looks so ridiculous. But it's not. We have faith that one day the Lord will call us forth and we will dwell with him in eternity. Is this the truth? I'm not doing all the work here, guys. Is this a truth? Oh, thank you. Oh, for a moment there, I thought you were all asleep. It is the very same faith that causes us to step out and to accomplish great things for God. Faith holds us close to him, regardless of what our circumstances are. It is faith that enables us to lean into him when all else seems to be falling apart. Faith hears the inaudible. It sees the invisible, and it believes the incredible, and it receives the impossible. Jimmy Carter said, "To me, faith is not just a noun but a verb, which is a doing word. A father may pray for a good crop, but God expects him to amen with a hoe." So what we are told and what we do are important. Christ's return is not speculation. It's a certainty. Are we ready? Faith is a muscle that must grow stronger with use. Don't get the idea that if you could only muster up enough faith, you'll be effective in prayer. Faith is not some mysterious commodity to be sought after. You don't need more faith. You need to appropriate the faith that is already within you, as small as a mustard seed. Any of you are gardeners, you'll know how small the mustard seed is. Another question. Have you ever had a time when you were seeking what was beyond human ability to be able to achieve? No? Come on. There must be at least one person. I know you have, Beth. I want to tell you of our experience. I was at the Weewall Christian School. I was teaching craft. School was over. And I was still inside talking to the teacher. I heard our 8-year-old daughter scream. And every person knows the difference between a scream of pain and a scream of sheer agony. As I put my hand on the door, I felt the Lord within me say, "Do not be afraid. I will heal her. Have faith." When I got outside, I found my daughter laying on the ground. I lifted her eyelids and her eye was down in her cheek cavity. I picked her up, took her inside, rang the doctor, took her down to the doctor's surgery. He saw her, stuck her straight in hospital with severe concussion. 3 days later, I got a phone call to say she had been rushed to Tamworth Hospital and was going to undergo a serious operation. I had two other children, a husband, and I needed to pack and get my children looked after somewhere and go. And it all just fell into place, piece by piece by piece. Joe was already under the knife by the time I got to the hospital in Tamworth. And the specialist said there was nothing he could do. So when she finally came out of hospital, she had single vision less than the size of a postage stamp. And every time she tried to move her eye, She got double and triple vision and would fall over and faint. We needed to go to Sydney to see a specialist again. And so off we went, Johanna and I, long journey, 12 hours in a car. We got there and he said he would operate tomorrow. He didn't think there was anything he could do, but he would operate. Many of the people at home had told me that God wasn't going to heal because my own doctor had said he'd never seen anyone healed from that type of injury. The second specialist did the operation and came out and said to me, "Keep your fingers crossed." And I said to him, "I'm not in the finger crossing business, I'm in the praying business," to which he chuckled away. We took Joe home, or I took Joe home. 2 days later, we were at a prayer meeting. One of the children came running in and said, "Aunty V, Joe's not very well." When I went out to see her, from her nose to her ear was swollen and bright, shiny red. The doctor happened to be at this particular meeting. He took one look at her and said, "Get her to hospital. I need to put her in an induced coma. The infection is too great to fly her to Sydney." It's not fun having to hold your daughter down while they pump needles into her. But you do what you have to do, don't you? All the time, I kept hearing this still, small voice. "Do not be afraid. I will heal her. Have faith." Eventually, when Jo came out of her induced coma, she seemed pretty good, quite all right in many ways, but still couldn't see properly and still kept passing out. We had an appointment with the specialist 6 months later in Macquarie Street. We go back to him. He takes her in. He looks at her and he says to me, "You're the praying lady, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Keep praying, because nothing I did has given your child back the movement in her eye that she is experiencing." Within 18 months, she was totally healed. Now, Jo is now 47 years of age. Whilst she can't look up like that, she moves her head. But her sight is perfect, except for glasses that you need when you get older. But she's fine. People will tell you you're nuts when you say that God has told you something. Don't listen to them. Because God is bigger than the words of any man or woman, and he will help and guard and carry you through to a place where you can see that faith indeed has been achieved, things which are totally impossible in the human times. Matt Eustace tells us, "You can't enjoy what God has promised us in Christ, forgiveness, a new life here on earth, an eternal life with him someday in heaven, unless you respond to his words to you today." Think of the people in the Bible who exercised faith. The woman who walked many miles, had been ill for 12 years. She reached out in faith, "If I can only touch his garment." And she was healed. Think of the woman whose daughter was demon-possessed. She was a Phoenician. And she asked Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus said, "Huh? I come for the people of Israel." And she said, "Even the children who drop crumbs, the dogs eat." That's Neville, I can paraphrase, by the way. The point being, She trusted him. And when she returned home, her daughter was healed. Oswald Chambers says faith cannot be intellectually defined. Faith is the inborn capacity to see God behind everything, the wonder that keeps you as an eternal child. The secret of strong, healthy faith is the constant cultivation of the presence of God in Christ, relationship, knowing and you know that you know him, and walking closely with him. How many of us have seen difficult circumstances and all of a sudden we turn to jelly? Where we have a God that when we ask, he touches us. And there is this soft warmth that fills our heart. And we know that he is at work in our lives. Psalm 46 verse 2 says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble and distress. Hebrews 6:18, so that by two immutable things it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast in the hope that lies before us. Don't give up seeking him. Press in and hold on with persistent faith. And I'm going over time. I will apologize in advance. When I believed, the Lord asked me to prayer walk around different countries. It was the faith of my children that helped me to undertake the task required. Each day they would ask, what's the Lord brought today? Sometimes it was an unsolicited letter with a check or a money order. One day it was a phone call that gave me a full round-the-world trip. Lots of things happened. It made me very, very humble. When I said one day that there was nothing, both Joe and Tim's response was, he has called you to this and he will bring it to pass. Stand in the light, Mum, and hang on. Makes you very humble when your children are telling you what you should already know. Remember, there are times in our lives when our faith might shake, where we might feel as though the world's falling apart. But God is with you. He will guide, guard, and govern you. He will strengthen your walk as you trust in him. Another question. Are you ready for the coming King? Are you focused on the Lord and continually building your relationship with him? Throughout the day, we have choices. A choice of faith that God is in control, meaning that all that happens is for my greater good, and we can go around without fear, without being worried or negative, expecting the worst, because the God of all glory indeed walks with each of us. I want to read you a poem. It doesn't have an author. It's called Anonymous. You ask why I follow Jesus, why I love him the way I do, when the world's turned away from his teaching and people who serve him are few. It's not the rewards I'm after or the gifts I hope to receive. It's the presence that calls for commitment. It's the spirit I trust and believe. The Lord doesn't shelter his faithful or spare them or suffering or pain. Like everyone else, I have burdens and I walk through my share of rain. Yet he gives me a plan and a purpose and that joy only Christians have known. I never know what comes tomorrow, but I do know I am never alone. It's the love always there when you need it. It's the words that redeem and inspire. It's the longing to ever be with him that burns in my heart like a fire. So you ask me why I love Jesus? Well, friend, that's easy to see. But the one thing that fills me with wonder is why Jesus would love someone like me. Let's pray. Father, you are the voice of all wisdom. You are the voice of all care. You are the voice that leads us when we are in deep despair. And you are the voice that speaks to us in great joy. Lord, may each of us open our heart more that the light of the world may touch us, redeem us, renew us, and may each of us walk in a newness of life that can only come from you. And Lord Jesus, we simply pause to say we love you. Help us to love you more. Amen.